This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 363, recorded on July 26th, 2018. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the things. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the Average Guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.team studios here in a beautiful, like, Mike, this was the weather we should have had in the spring. Like, it's almost spring, like 80 mild humidity, right?
Yeah, they skipped it, and then they just tacked it on to the end of summer, but this past week has been perfect. Not too hot, you can enjoy it, you can actually be outside without sweating too much. It's been awesome.
July in Nebraska, never fun, but man, beautiful here, so if you're listening to us and you're in the Midwest, get outside and enjoy it. Lots of grill talk today, by the way, so get ready for that. Of course, we post the show, and we've got all the show notes actually already written, which is pretty awesome, and they're posted at theaverageguy.tv. Don't forget, you can join us live on our mobile app. Best way to get to the podcast when you are out and about, on a train, in a plane, on a car, walking the dog, whatever you're doing, exercising. Don't do that, by the way. Exercising, all that kind of stuff. You can get it at homegadgetgeeks.com. Both Android and iPhone are free. And, of course, we thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that and appreciate all that they do for us. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review if you're an Apple Podcast. I think you can do that in the new Google Podcast app as well. Subscribe on YouTube if you listen to us that way. Great way to do it. Click the notification bell every time we go live or I post something to the recorded channel. You get it that way, or follow us on Spreaker. Mike, we have been out. You've been out three. I have been out two. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. And Mike, welcome back.
No kidding. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's been a weird, had a lot of things come up on Thursdays. And then, you know, and then it's next Thursday that I'm going to have to miss as well. So it's going to be hit or miss, but then after that we should clear up and it should be good to go.
Yeah, we should lock in. I'll look at getting a guest host for that for next week, but it's always good to be back with you. We were talking a little bit in pre-show, a whole bunch of family stuff going on with me, had a wedding, had a big conference. My son went back to San Diego. And so I just took 2 weeks off. Really good to get away. I appreciate that. Hopefully you've caught up. There's many people who listen to these podcasts a couple weeks behind, and hopefully you have caught up and are now maybe in real time with us. And if you're listening to that, and if it's next week already, then hey, you've caught up. Pretty awesome. Welcome back. And it's nice to take the time off. Mike, I want to start the show. I've got kind of a special note. We have a listener that passed away this week, and normally I may not even know about it, to be honest, but it was a family member, which is always tragic. My niece's husband, Roger Barnhouse, he was out. They were out swimming with family in North Carolina, got caught. His son got caught in a riptide. He went out to get him. He got caught in the riptide, and son made it, but he did not. Tragically passed away last week and last Saturday. As a matter of fact, I was out mowing the lawn, I have a new chipper we'll talk about here in a little bit later, but I was out chipping away in euphoria when my wife came up to let us know. It's always tragic when a family member, but Roger was a big Home Gadget Geeks listener. He used to send me notes all the time when he, when we were first starting out, he one time said, "Hey, I just want to let you know I'm listening." And he was a big advocate of the show. So boy, hearts and prayers and everything go out to the family. Yeah. Really, really, really. I mean, it's a very, very tragic situation. And, I've always appreciated the listeners, and I just want a special shout out to Roger. We'll think about his family and all the things that have to happen. The future is going to be tough for them. They started a GoFundMe to fund his, to help pay for the funeral costs. And I think they raised, last time I checked, $12,000 or $13,000.
Wow. That's great.
It's pretty amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You couldn't do that 10 years ago.
No.
Right.
It's so tough when it's young like this, right? Like when it's something tragic and it's, you think before their time. So yeah. Sorry to hear that. And yeah, it's tough.
By the way, I think I said this, last fall, my father-in-law passed away, and I think I had the life insurance speech with everybody on the podcast, but gentlemen, you may not live forever, and make sure your assets and your family and like everyone should kind of review that. They didn't have as much life insurance probably as they should have. And that's one of those easy things to do. Oftentimes it doesn't cost a lot. Depends on your age and all those other things, but pretty easy to do. You can shop life insurance. You can get the cheapest stuff possible. Like there isn't, you know, there's no such thing as luxury life insurance. You don't need that. You're not going to change the oil. No one's ever going to look at your policy, right? Just get the cheapest stuff you can. But certainly, gentlemen and ladies, as you're listening to this, make sure your family's covered. This is an easy thing to do. The technology is easy around it. You can get it anywhere. You can get it through a broker, buy it from a buddy. Just get the cheapest stuff you can, but make sure you've got like it planned. And I told you, Mike, in pre-show, I have this book, you know, that's got everything in it. It's all right here. And I told the family, you know, if something happens to me, it's all here. Get in here. This is how to, it's got a, I need to put a letter in it. That says, sorry, I died. You know,
yeah. Right. I think that's a great idea. I haven't done that yet. And I need to put together something because all of our stuff is kind of in different file cabinets, but somewhere that Hannah could go look.
Kind of an emergency file that says, hey, come here. If something had happened to me, we had our oldest son over this weekend too. And I said, hey, we should probably brief you on this because if something were to happen to both of us, then I kind of need to have that plan. If what happens if the house burns down and we lose all the records, I probably need to have those pictured somewhere on a network file where somebody besides Sarah and I can get to it. So there's a lot of things, a lot of things to think about, but certainly life insurance should not be one of them. So if you're not, get that thing taken care of, get out and get it done. There's my PSA for the evening. Just get it done. You do not want to leave. I know you're gone, but you don't want to leave your family in a lurk. So get that done. All right. Sorry to start off on such a bummer note, but thanks for the chat room. A lot of them have good words to me, so I appreciate you guys out there doing that. Okay, let's dive in. We've been spending a lot of time in the Facebook group. Why it's blown up, Mike, since we started taking questions from the chat room.
Everyone's engaged in it. I love it. And they're posting good stuff in there, asking questions. People are answering other people's questions.
Yeah. What we missed was Prime Day. That happened while all these things were going on. So the deals are gone, but I wanted to highlight a couple of folks. Of course, Kevin Schoonover is always good for a deal. And if you're one of those kinds of guys or gals that likes deals, you probably want to jump in our group because Kevin is the best at posting them there. But Kevin had found a really good deal on Prime Day for a SanDisk 1 TB SSD. We've been talking about, I think it was 5 or 6 shows ago, right? Kathleen had jumped in there and asked, you know, what's the best thing to do? Well, Mike, one terabyte SSD, 150, full price.
I couldn't believe the price because I just purchased one for my sister-in-law. We kind of resurrected an old laptop, put an SSD in there. And for 126 terabytes, it was like $49 or something like that. I was like, man, if I would have known I could have gone 150 and gotten a full terabyte, that would have been a game changer.
I know. Now, that's a really good price. Most things are running, I think, the bottom end right now, 184 is kind of what I've seen. Let's just say.
Well, and SanDisk is towards the lower end on quality. Just know what you're getting yourself into on quality. I mean, the recent ones people have said aren't as bad, but there were in their early stages of SSDs from SanDisk, they weren't the best. But for that price, it could be a spare, right? It could be like he brought up, it could be a burst plotting drive. It would be perfect for that.
Yeah, no, that was actually, those are my comments.
Yeah. But, those are your comments.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I should put Jim by him in the show notes.
Gotcha.
My thought for me was I'm doing some burst plotting still, and boy, it'd be really, really handy to have a 1 TB SSD.
No kidding.
I think, Mike, don't you think for the average guy on a PC build, having the whole hard drive SSD, maybe an overkill? Like, Or you think, no, we're to that point now where the cost is cost effective. I mean, you can get a 512 SSD now for $150, probably, you know, full price. If you don't get a deal, you could probably get it cheaper, 125 maybe. Do you go as big as you can? Or
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I would rather go full SSD.
Just the whole thing. And for most people, 1 TB is really all you need, right?
If you don't have like a NAS. So I have a NAS, so I don't worry about that much storage. But if I could have a terabyte on my local computer, that's good enough. The hard part is when you start getting into video editing now with 4K footage and everything, you could have a pretty beefy video. If you want to edit everything local, you need to have a pretty big drive to even store all that 4K. And now things are shooting 8K. You need a big local drive. So yeah, I think you go with as big as you can afford.
Yeah. Well, at 185, let's just say it's $200. Like I think if to get decent quality right now, you know, that $200 price point is what's pretty good. They've gotten like all of a sudden 1 TB is within reach for just about everybody. And so I just hadn't, like you, I hadn't really even priced out a 1 terabyte.
I hadn't either.
I had looked at one of those hybrid spinners for this burst plotting. I wanted to plot these files in 1 terabyte, chunks, and I needed to send it because the Seagate drives are SMR drives. They're really slow to write. They don't write very fast at all. Great for storage, great for retrieval, terrible for writing. So read is okay. Write is terrible. So you write them, the random write is what's terrible. So you write them to a cache drive and then send them over, and they go a lot faster that way if you do it that way. So I'd looked at some of those hybrid drives. I think I priced one out $85, $90 for a 1 terabyte hybrid, right? Where it comes with a certain part of its SSD, the rest of it's a spinner. I don't actually think that would have worked in my situation. I don't think because you're constantly writing to that thing. And so I don't think it works. But it was one of those types of situations where I go, wow, okay. If I don't want to spend $200, a 1 terabyte hybrid,
yeah, for
most people is going to be super fast and work pretty well. And yep,
totally agree.
In under $100.
Best case scenario, Ryan's setup is perfect. I love that. You have an NVMe drive, that's your main boot drive, and then you have a SSD as almost your backup. So instead of having a spinner as your second drive, you have your SSD be your second storage drive. Because if you can get a terabyte SSD, you could do your NVMe at 256 or whatever you need. That's a perfect setup. If you can afford that, that would be perfect.
Yeah, Mark Robson says 250 to 500 SSD for me is fine for me. And I think really for most people, Mark, I think that's the sweet spot. Below 500, right?
Yeah, for most people, I totally agree. I even went with a 126 for my sister-in-law because, I mean, really, everything's in the cloud for her. It's being stored in iCloud, or she's using Dropbox, and she doesn't do any video editing. I'm like, 126 is going to be fine. She really has the operating system and then not much else stored locally. So for most people, you could probably go lower. But if you're someone who does use file storage, why not at this point? It'd be hard to find a better use of $50 to upgrade your computer. If you're going to do a build, $50 extra could get you quite a bit more space, whereas, you know, it's not going to get you much RAM for $50. It's not going to buy you much else.
Right. No, it's a good, right now, those prices are pretty cheap. And yeah. So if you're.
And they're only getting cheaper.
No, hard drive space is that way for sure.
Yep.
Speaking of that, Ryan Kirshner had written in as well in the group. He said Best Buy had an 8 terabyte Western Digital Easy Store external drive on sale the other week for $149. That was, we were buying those Seagate drives for $149, those SMR drives. He says this is as cheap as they go. These are the WD Reds or white label Reds inside. Usually
they are. Yep.
Right. Great source of cheap NAS drives. If you try to buy a single 8 terabyte drive now outside of these kits,
it's like $300.
Yeah. They're pretty expensive. Right. But you can get them inside, which is just a weird, it shows the markup, right? On some of these drives. Like, some of those, it was really interesting. I found, and I'll put a link to the show notes during this week too. We missed that Prime deal, or we missed that deal. It's funny because Best Buy and all Newegg, they had Prime-like deals going on during Prime Day, right? So they were trying to keep up. But Seagate has this Backup Plus hub. It's an 8 terabyte external hard drive, but it comes with 2 months of Adobe Creative Cloud. So if you want to, it comes with it, right?
Good value right there.
And then it's a little hub. So it actually has two pass-throughs, two USB 3 pass-throughs on the box. So not a bad little box. And it was $150 out on Amazon. So Seagate's been closing, been pushing those out at the 150. I think, Mike, we're going to see 10 terabytes now are the ones that are in that 200 price range. And I think we're going to see 8 terabytes kind of slip down to the 125.
I would hope so.
Don't you think? And I think we're going to start seeing 10 terabyte deals here pretty quick.
Yeah. I would definitely hope so.
Mark says the white drives have been quality binned. Top ones get the red label, second level quality, not necessarily bad, but labeled. It's kind of white labeled.
Okay.
White label drives. So it's okay. I've actually bought some white label drives off of 3 terabyte drives off of eBay. Yeah. For 3 terabytes, $60. They're down to 55 or 50 now. And I bought a bunch of those. Man, they were great. Throw them in the Drobo or
thrown them in for burst. A home NAS, they're great.
Yeah. So one of those things I should look into, certainly buying them, you know, I think you're getting a better drive when you're buying the Western Digital boxes than you are when you're buying the Seagate boxes.
I would agree.
I think that's the way it goes. By the way, Links to all of that will be in the show notes if you want to go and take a look. You know, on time, I can never guarantee what kind of the prices are. But if you're looking for storage right now, now is a good time. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of 150 deals right now where you can get it. So,
yeah, this was actually my speaking of drives, my pfSense drive crashed on me, which that's a hard thing because I had been prepared before. But now since I had the dedicated unit, all my backups were not current and I had just reformatted the installer USB to use as a Windows installer USB. Of course, it's like the one time I couldn't have it happen. So it was one of those, okay, tether to my phone. Thank goodness I just upgrade to unlimited and download the ISO and get everything back up and running. So I wasn't ready to replace this drive and that pfSense in the Dell server that I have, the R210. No. Yeah, whatever that is in there. So that was a fun panic moment as I came home, no internet. Okay, what is it? Usually it's like, okay, reboot, restart. Nope, that's not working. Oh, I can't even see the drive. Awesome. So getting in there, that was always a lot of fun.
You mentioned pfSense, Mike, and you know, yeah. if you're replacing that drive, like pfSense takes very little.
Very little. I could boot it off a USB stick.
You almost could. I ran it off of a SSD, a really small SSD, like a 30 gig. Right now you can get 60 gig SSDs. $20. Like,
oh really?
Yeah. So like Amazon Choice, you know, the one they always kind of have, they recommend, it's a Flare. It's a Patriot Flare. It's, you know, pretty standard, not your top of the line SSD. 60 gig, $20. Like, why would you not drop a $20 drive in there?
Yeah, you know? I probably should. I had another one laying around and I shoved it in there. But now I have all my backups. And now, so I went through the whole process of, I have a second machine right above it with extra NICs, and that is updated. It's got my current config from pfSense. So if this ever happens again, I just pull the cables up, plug them into the second machine and start up the VM. And at least we'll have internet and be up and running. So now my backup solution is perfect. I've got the installer. I've got a whole other machine that's ready to go. It shouldn't happen to me again.
Yeah, but that's one of those, like, if you're building a pfSense box, those 60
might as well. SSDs, that's a great idea. I didn't even know you could get them that cheap.
Are pretty awesome, pretty good deal, easy to get, light, energy efficient. You know, all those things,
right?
Are available for you. Other Jim put in the chat room, Backblaze has released their I think every 6 months or so they release a hard drive reliability report. I will put that. It really is just backblaze.com off their blog. If you want to go out and take a look, easy just to Google that. I'll try and get the link out there for you in the show notes. But another great way, you know, they run a ton of hard drives and they keep track of everything they use. And it's a great report to see what's failing, what's not failing. It's kind of like the consumer reports for hard drives.
Yeah.
Which is super, super cool. So we'll try and grab that link. Other Jim, thanks for bringing that up. It's a great handy little a report and pretty unbiased. Like, they don't care. They're just reporting on how their hard drives ran in their data centers. So pretty cool. Other Jim, thanks for bringing that up as well. We also, Mike, I was this week or 3 weeks ago, I think it was three. No, maybe it was 362. So maybe it was the show that I do solo. Ryan, who has been writing me a lot lately. So Ryan, I appreciate that. I think I put a request out there for what are you doing in your own home storage, right? We talk about, you and I talk about it all the time. So Ryan sent me a note. First, he said, love the new things you're doing with the show. So thanks, Ryan. And then he said, here's my submission for your request regarding home storage on Home Gadget Geeks 362. So his NAS devices, he's got a Synology DS16 18 Plus. Again, this is all in the show notes if you want to go take a look. And he's got 6x8 terabyte NAS drives. So
wow.
It's pretty sweet, isn't it? Ryan, what are you storing? What are you storing on all this stuff? So he's got 2 Seagate Iron Wolves, 4 USD Reds running RAID 5, 36 usable, 65 used. So there's a little RAID running on there, newly acquired. Going to use it as his primary NAS for multimedia, general file storage and stuff. Pretty nice. Probably won't have to expand that. Depends on how many movies he has, right? So, and I don't know how to pronounce this next one, Mike. Do you know, are you looking at the notes? A Suster, an AS6202.
Yeah, I didn't know that one either. No. Or the next one, the Thecus.
Thecus, I think, is the way they pronounce that. 2x8 in there. Those are WD Reds running in a RAID 1. So 7.16 usable, but 1.55 used. It was originally intended to be a replacement for the Thecus, the M3800, probably going to be used as in a VM environment as a iSCSI target for offsite resync targets. So cool. And then he's got the Thecus M3800. It's got three 500 gig desktop drives in there. Those are Western Digital Blues running in RAID 5, 1 terabyte usable on that one. 800 gig of it used. His first NAS, used primarily for multimedia, general file storage, kind of grew out of that Thecus one. It's had it for 10 years. So I think the Thecus is going to get... We used to talk about Thecus all the time on Home Server Show, which is...
Oh, really? Scary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that would come up from time. Then at QSAN, an XN500-4T. It's empty right now. It's got one 2.5-inch bay and 4 3.5s. Newly acquired and no plan for it yet. Ryan, good for you for buying stuff with no plan that you've just got sitting around thinking, I'll have it available. Yeah. Mike, doing all this burst mining the other day, I was reminded, it's like, oh man, I should get one of those, you know, those, that's not Thermalite, but Mike Howard helped me with this in the chat room. These are the ones we talked about. We did a home tech tip on this. You've bought these. They're little 4-bay USB pass-throughs. They're just super efficient, easy to load up. Anyways, made me kind of like, oh, maybe I need more USB drives. You know, that way.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Ryan says he's got all this storage, and he says, and yet I'm only rocking 2 terabytes with burst. Yeah, Ryan. MediaSonic is the name of that mic that Mike and I did.
There we go.
Yep. It's a super popular video, by the way, that we did. But MediaSonic Drive, Ryan, you should be doing more on burst. Then for cloud storage, Ryan is using his Amazon Drive, 1 terabyte plan. Still being configured. We'll use it as offsite sync, a location for family media, and important data from the Synology. So he says, most of this is currently overkill for our needs. Yeah, maybe a little bit. That's okay, though. Overkill is acceptable here.
Yes.
Plex storage.
Encouraged, actually.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah. It's super cool when you do it that way. Plex storage and basic NAS duties. But this storage setup does well to provide a good base for the future. It absolutely does indeed. I added that part. Hope that you can add this to the conversation. And maybe we'll catch next week's show live. Well, Ryan, you did catch it live. You're out there in the chat room right now. Thanks for jumping in there. And I'm sure folks will ask you questions as we go along. But he says the $150 8 terabyte drives were tough to pass up. They were tough for me to pass up, and that's why I have 14 of them here in the burst.
Crazy with that. It was always grab another one.
I know, that was stupid. By the way, it was really stupid. Burst about a penny and penny 0.3, something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
I think the whole thing has made me like $200. So let's not get too carried away, right, on some of those things. Ryan, thanks for taking some time to write in on that. Very, very cool. If you want to send in your home storage, just send it to me, jim@theaverageguy.tv. We'll read those live, and you can brag a little bit, maybe a little home storage bragging, which is always good. Ryan, thanks for sending that in. Kyle, who is really good at sending information, and sent me a note. And Kyle's changed jobs, and he is now working for a new school, Kingsway Christian School. So he says this. He says, "Hi, Jim. I took a job at Kingsway Christian School. This semester, I'll be teaching 3 classes starting next week, Wednesday." Well, school starts pretty quick here for those guys there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Teaching a 6th grade computer programming class, 7th and 8th grade computer programming, and 7th and 8th grade multimedia. For the multimedia class, I'm going to include podcasting. Very cool. I like that. I plan to use Pod News from James. For the multimedia class, yeah, I'm going to include podcasting. I plan to use Pod News from James Cridland as a resource for this class. I want students to get used to reading and understanding industry news. Do you know of anything similar for computer programming? In other words, what's out there for computer programming news? Mike, I don't know. Like, programming has become fairly commoditized, and there are tons of resources out there on programming. Are you aware of any? I told Kyle, we'd throw this out to the community, and maybe this is a good just community question. Like, if you were going to teach 6th, 7th, and 8th grade computer programming, and you wanted the students to keep track of industry news, what would you have them, you know, what would you have them listen to, or what would you have them watch, or what would you have them track?
For news, I'm not really sure what on news, but yeah. For platform wise, I've been a big fan of Code Academy. So I would see if you could, you know, I don't know how it would work with their school, but see if you could integrate Code Academy, because I think his second question, we haven't got to it yet, but is essentially he gets down into languages that we think would be beneficial for them to learn. And the great thing about Code Academy is it starts you out extremely basic. I think you actually do start, he mentions that he wanted to start with HTML and CSS. I think they do start you there just because they're the easiest to learn. It's actually the only ones I know as well. I'm not a programmer, but I've started with those. And you can kind of go through with Code Academy and follow the curriculum there, which I think is pretty good, because then the kids, even afterwards, so if you could get them an account or something like that, especially, you know, if he himself doesn't know all the other codes, get them an account, then they can carry that on after they leave the class. If some of these kids have a real interest in it, they can go sign in at home and just continue on, because it's free for Code Academy. I think the whole thing is free, or most of it is free. Can't remember.
Yeah,
there's any paywall at all. But
Microsoft Virtual Academy is another one of those.
Yeah,
being in the Microsoft space and virtual or VS Code, which is a thinner version of Visual Studio, is available for free now for Microsoft. They're being really, really kind to their development community in a lot of ways. So, Mike, we're actually at work for my high school intern class. I have 5 college students who are going to help me next year do that program. And I've actually given them the task of coming up with some videos to watch. No more teaching. No more. They're not going to come on Saturday mornings. We're not teaching them a thing. We're going to give them some YouTube videos and just say, before you come to the class, whenever you do, just watch these videos and learn at your own speed and, you know, some of those things. And so they're spending some time looking through things that have been helpful for them. They're doing some research. I'll have a list of that. I would love to have a list that we do here. Many of you are in this space. And so, you know, if you're driving, just think about this when you get done. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. I'd love to have some resources from you. And why? Why'd you like them? What was good about them? Think about, these are 6th through high school folks who have varying levels of computer programming experience. What's been good for you? These things change all the time. So I'd love to hear from you. His second question. Go ahead, Mike. Were you going to say something?
Well, yeah, that's what I love about Code Academy is that it's not only the video, it's the entire platform, right? They log in and you actually build along with them in the web browser. So as far as any extra application, it's a full platform on the web that they can go through, follow and input, see their result, things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some great stuff out there. I'd love to hear from you. We'll include it in, and then maybe I'll put a little post together when we're done. A little guide that I will put out there and say, you know, here's what we came up with collectively. So jim@theaverageguy.tv, when you're not driving or whatever you're doing, think about that. Send me a note. Love to hear from you on that. Kyle also asked a question. He says, my programming skills are mostly HTML and CSS, Mike, like you mentioned. So that's where I plan to start. Are these valuable skills? They are. Can you find a job doing them today? Actually, in some cases you can. There are, we're starting to see a lot of, in the industry, we're seeing a lot of companies that just use basic HTML and CSS that are looking for people who will help code web pages or test web pages or get things out there, right? The designers and developers put them in there, but they need folks who can mark them up and get them. So that's good. He also asked, it doesn't seem like it uses much math or logic, and it doesn't for the most part. So a lot of folks, maybe math was not math was the best 5 years of high school for you. So if you're not great at that, you can get into that kind of field in that way. He says, I'm open to any suggestions for resources that you'd like to share about computer programming. One of the things that I do know in our program, Mike, is, of course, JavaScript runs the web at this point.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do HTML, CSS, you should add JavaScript next. So those, and that's really easy to get into. There's tons of resources, different frameworks to help you. There's all kinds of great things you could do. And Kyle, there's tons of great podcasts around that stuff. So if you're thinking about just development, there are people who've developed whole curriculums on programming around their podcasts. I don't know any of them. I've seen them. I've heard about them. We'll have to do some research on them. Let's put a list together. The other, once you get beyond HTML, CSS, at least in the recruiting world, lots of jobs in C#. Of course, that's Microsoft's version of Java. And so Java and C# kind of are similar in what they're doing from a programming standpoint. And lots of jobs in those areas. That's object-oriented development. And that's the next step in for a lot of people in development. There's lots, a million other things you can do besides those. Those, at least in the areas I recruit in, are the most popular. So Python, Lopta mentions Python's really popular. Python is a script. Yeah, Python is super popular as a script. And there's lots of things you can do with it. I'm actually thinking, Mike, in a lot of cases, Python is an add-on minimum. Like, you know these things and you know Python. We've taught Python in the summer. Christian taught us Python at Gallup 2 years ago. He did a summer program on Python when he was an intern. So I like Python a lot. Lots of things for you to do there. And again, love to have your feedback. Jim@theaverageguy.tv. You've got some stuff, send it to me. We'll put it in a list together and see what we can do. Mike, we talked about news, reviews, product updates, and conversation. We covered the conversation part. And I was so glad you put this in the show notes, because all of a sudden in the news section, TeamViewer has gotten super aggressive.
Yeah.
What did this happen to you?
It didn't happen to me, but it happened to one of my friends, and they were talking about it on Twitter, and I actually didn't know about it, but it's something that could totally affect me. So what's happening is TeamViewer, as you guys know, has a free offering for non-commercial use. So if you're using it for home or personal reasons, it's free, but they charge you if you want to use it for commercial use, which is fine. But they've gone after a lot of people for thinking that they are using it for commercial purposes, when actually they're not. And the reason this is happening is because they are using it in a corporate environment. So this happens to me, right? I am at work and I TeamViewer into my home computer. I TeamViewer into someone else's computer, and not for work purposes, like back home or to my mom or to my grandma or whoever. I'm helping them out real quick from work. And what they're doing is, if that IP address comes from someone that they've tagged as a corporate address, then they are going to essentially assume that you are using it for commercial purposes and lock you down. So yeah, it's been interesting. They've been going after these people, but in most cases, I'm sure they are catching some actual people who weren't paying and they should have been. But for the majority of people, it's people that were just logging on from work and they're getting flagged for it.
My mom was having some trouble with her email. She always calls me. Actually, she sends me a note on Facebook. And so I called her. She says, "What's your cell number?" I said, "I'm not going to give it to you." She's like, "What?" I'm like, "I don't answer my cell." She's like, "Well, how do I contact you?" "I'm calling you right now because you contacted me on Facebook. Just do it right that way." Right. So, which is really funny, because she'll put those comments, like a work thread will be going on Facebook, or maybe you and I are sharing some thoughts on Facebook, and she just jumps right in. "Jim, can you call me?" So she's so inappropriate. Right. She doesn't listen to the show. So I can say those kinds of things. But so computer problems, I jumped into TeamViewer. It had logged me out. When I logged back in, it was like, "Hey, your trial is expired. Do you want to extend it for 7 days, or just buy, like, do you want to buy the full version of it?" And I'm like, "Oh, yikes." So I extended the trial. I had to go in and verify it in my email. I had to do some other things, but they definitely had flagged me as an abuser, so to speak.
Yeah.
I don't use it for work. It's personal use. But
you were probably at work, right?
Yes, I have used it from work.
See, and me, I think that's how they're getting it, is if you're in a corporate environment.
So not as nice as it used to be. Mark Robson has put in the chat room. He says Chrome now offers a remote desktop. And you shouldn't say now. That's actually been out there a long time, that Chrome desktop support piece has been out there, I think, for a while, for a couple of years at least. And it's a community. We fall into these products like TeamViewer that works so well.
Right.
And then a bunch of groupthink kicks in and we all get addicted to it. And then they want to charge for it. And of course, nobody wants to pay, right? Their prices.
Well,
they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, they are. And they have, they've had their vulnerabilities before, but the one app that I wanted to ask if any of our users have used is SplashTop. It's gotten some good reviews and people are kind of, it's been the Twitter go-to, right? Like, "Hey, if you're not going to use that, go use SplashTop." So I didn't know, I had never heard of it even, but apparently it's free. It's got some good reviews. People like it. So
I
didn't know if
any
of our listeners
used it before.
Really?
I think so. I think he's talked about that before on Reset, or trying to remember, he was doing some stuff where he was remoting back in. I don't know. We probably could do a whole show just on remote desktop options.
Yeah.
Oh, you totally could. I have kind of quit, Mike, doing remote desktop stuff. I don't know why. Here locally on the network here, I just use remote access, right? Or remote desktop from Microsoft. But I'm not coming in. I was part of that breach for TeamViewer where people came in and actually, you know, I had things stolen because TeamViewer was vulnerable. I was part of that. And so I shut everything off. I logged out everything in remote access. I'm not a big fan of coming into my own network that way because I'm just not disciplined enough. I leave that stuff open all the time. And in fact, when I was having we were having the kind of the death discussion with the family again this weekend. And my daughter, because I said, oh, hey, Sarah, you know, all the codes, I share a LastPass account with Sarah. So if something happens to me, you know, they can flag that. And if I don't respond to it in a certain time, they'll release my information to her. And Sammy goes, Dad, let's be honest. You leave your computer unlocked all the time. And I could go down there and get into anything that's yours right now. I'm like, holy crap. My daughter just ratted me out. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's true. Like, I don't lock at home. I don't lock my computer. Like, and it's logged into LastPass. So you literally can get to everything if you get to my desktop.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have kind of chosen not to expose myself to those kinds of, I don't want to remote into my stuff from work at home. I choose not to do that. So I've kind of stopped using remote desktop. Have you been, Mike, what have you, you've been using TeamViewer, I assume.
So I have been using TeamViewer, but I also switch back and forth. I also just, I have a VPN set up. So I VPN into home and then I RDP. So, which I think is a much more secure way to do it.
Probably the right way to do it.
So just set up a VPN. I have it running on my pfSense box and I VPN in from my phone or from my iPad and then just run the RDP app and you're good to go.
Were you with us when we talked about
these? I still have mine. Yeah, the Ananabox.
Yeah, I should set that up as a VPN. I should do that. We should just get that done. That's probably the right way to do it. Love to hear from you. What are you using for remote desktop these days? TeamViewer is getting very aggressive. And send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. Mike, maybe we can come back and talk about those. You tagged me, I don't know, a month or two ago talking about SimpliSafe. And you were like, hey, is anybody doing this? You got a little bit of a story to tell. So back us up a little bit. And for those that didn't hear the story, how did this thing get started and how did it end up?
Well, so, I mean, you guys know I'm a security nut in general. I've been loving just up. My security system is just always being upgraded for as far as cameras go. I can never just be okay with what I got. I'm always trying, okay, well, now I want a 4K camera and things like that. So that's always been just a lot of fun for me. And then, no one has ever attempted to break into our home. The cameras have been great for checking for packages and seeing when people are home, but they've never actually been used to, you know, okay, oh, who tried to break in? But in our neighborhood, my aunt and uncle live just down the street. It's a 2-minute walk over to their house. And my uncle was actually asleep on his sofa in the living room and woke up to someone in the home. So they had accidentally left their garage door open. And on our next door app, I don't know if you guys all use that app, but it's been talked about a lot that they've been having a lot more break-ins, which is just so weird. We live in a great area of Omaha, and you wouldn't think it would happen very often, but we've having a string of them lately. It's been getting more and more rampant. And so when it happened to my uncle, though, he woke up and the guy got scared. He didn't know my uncle was on the couch and he ran. So it could have ended terribly, but it didn't. The guy ran out the door and it was good. But that kind of spawned me, okay, these cameras are great, but I kind of want to step it up, have a security system. We have one installed in the home, but it's probably from when the house was built, super old. I don't even know what service is tied to it or if there is anything. Very archaic, and it wasn't going to work well for us. So I ended up kind of looking around. I know that all the new camera companies are offering their own security systems now. You know, Nest has one, and Ring has one, and SimpliSafe is also one. So I was kind of doing my research and found out that SimpliSafe is, for me, from what I found, has the best reviews. And the things I was looking for was kind of a more of a DIY security system, right? No wires, all wireless. We have since you've been using Cox Home Security, Home Life from Cox, and it's been terrible. I haven't even used it because it was so bad. The user interface is terrible. It's terrible. So I didn't even mention using that because we didn't. We have it installed, but we don't use it. So SimpliSafe is a completely wireless kind of DIY security system, but it's secure. It's got the 24/7 monitoring. It's got everything you need. It's a full-fledged ADT, SEI, any company you can think of. It's a full-fledged system. It's just do it yourself. Don't have someone come else come and install it. And so I was like, okay, well, we'll give this a shot. Won't go into the story, but got a great deal on eBay. A fantastic deal on eBay. Grabbed a brand new set with all the sensors for extremely cheap. But by themselves, the part about SimpliSafe is their monthly fee is extremely low. And so, and you don't pay off your equipment over time. So you do have to buy the equipment up front. So, you know, for a normal system, you're looking anyway from $200 to $700 to get the system into your home. But setup could not have been easier. This was the one thing I think I tweeted about it. I said, if every piece of technology could have the user experience of SimpliSafe, we'd be in a much better world. So the way this works, so actually this is my keypad. And the key, the way they do this is it's a mount, so it mounts to the wall, but then you can always, you can just take it off and take it with you if you want. So this just, I just popped it off my wall upstairs to bring it down here, and then I'll just go and put it right back up. So you have a base station that you plug in to, you plug that in somewhere. So that's like a tall white cylindrical item. That's actually got an alarm in it. That's the brains. And then you've got keypads, however many you have. We have two. And the way you go and sell these sensors up, let's say you set up a door sensor, you go and you can, they all have options for screws. If you're a guy who wants it really on there really well, you can't pull it off. You can screw the thing in. But for me, I just use the command strips that are on the back. So they're the, whatever, the 3M command strips, stick them up there. You press a button on the sensor and you're carrying this around with you. And it says, and it just talks to you. It says, oh, hey, you activated a door sensor. What do you want to name it? And there's a bunch of pre-listed ones. You just scroll through. Oh, this is the front door. And if you don't see it, you can go and type it in, whatever you want. Done. So to set up a sensor is less than 10 seconds. You stick it, you press the button, and it just automatically just, hey, found your sensor for you. What do you want to do? Cool. You go around the house, you set up all of those. You can have external alarms. So I actually have two actual siren alarms and it's right by the door. It's super loud. If someone breaks in, their eardrum's going to break before anything. I got water sensors. So I have them down here by my sump pumps. So if my electricity ever goes out and water starts to come up, at least I'll know ahead of time because this all runs off battery backup as well. So the whole system is backed up by a battery on the base station. So you never have to worry about electricity being cut or anything like that. They say it could run for 24 to 48 hours without electricity.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Right. And yeah. So that's not bad at all. And I also have the smoke sensor. So I have smoke alarm, water sensors, door sensors, and a glass break sensor. So it's a pretty much a microphone that listens for the frequency of glass break. And yeah, it's just super simple to set up. I couldn't get over the fact of how well they've done with user interface. People who have looked at SimpliSafe in the past, if you looked at it before 2018 and you weren't impressed, give it another look because I wasn't either. The whole reason I hadn't done it before this is because their old system before this year, it looked like it was from like the 60s. Whoever had done the design on their previous generation, it was terrible. It just looked bad. It didn't function well. And the great part about this is now with this new system, they're starting to add in the integrations, right? So if you want to integrate, I can actually arm this with Alexa. So I can, and she's listening to me now. So if I told her to arm the system, she would arm the system. You can't disarm the system because that would obviously defeat the purpose. Someone could walk in and just ask her to, hey, yeah, just disarm the system. So you can't do that. But other integrations are coming. They're also coming out with a doorbell camera. So they're going to have the same sort of thing as Ring. And they are also coming out with all of their own cameras. The thing I really like about their cameras, by the way, they have indoor cameras now and they're coming out with their outdoor cameras, but their indoor cameras, it's genius. They have a steel shutter that you can see that is physically closed. It's metal. You can actually hear it click down and you know it's closed. And it makes sense. So when you are in home mode, the steel shutter is closed. So it's not going to record you while you are at home unless the alarm goes off. So once the alarm is triggered, it'll open up. But it stays closed so you know that you're not being recorded. And then as soon as you put your alarm system into away mode when you leave, it opens the shutter and leaves it open the entire time. So their cameras are very smart that way. If you're worried about privacy, it's interesting. But that's cool. All sorts of integrations coming with these as well.
Was the retail on all of that together?
So they have all different packages depending on how many door sensors you need. You can just go build your own package is probably the way I would do it. Count how many doors and windows you want to put sensors on, count how many things you need, and then just go build your own system on their website and buy it. The system that I got would have retailed for $600, and some guy was selling on eBay brand new for $150. So I got my whole thing for $150. Nice. Wasn't too bad. So nice.
An old model, brand new stuff. Brand new. Okay. We'll shop around.
Yeah. So shop around, go look. Cause This one was brand new. It actually shipped from SimpliSafe, which was weird. It didn't ship from the guy.
Oh, that is weird.
So it shipped directly from the factory.
Interesting. Well, yep. Is the deal still out there? Can people?
Could people, nope. He only had one.
Oh,
wow, it was the weirdest. Out. I got super lucky. So okay. Yeah, just order it off SimpliSafe.com. It's probably the best way to go.
You're gonna go there. Mike Howard is looking at Ring. You mentioned Ring. And yes. he's going to go. They've got some home security options as well.
They do. So one thing I'll mention real quick is the pricing real quick. So they have the thing about this is that there's no contract. So that's what their big selling point is, right? If you go to ADT, if you go to these other ones, you're going to pay, you're going to sign yourself up for a big contract. So with these, you can pay nothing. You can actually just have the system in your home and have local alarm. So when someone breaks in, you'll have the alarm go off, but it doesn't actually alert the police. So you can have that in your home, and that might be a good enough deterrent for you. That might be fine. And that's obviously free. You don't need to pay anything for that. $15 a month gets you basic. It's got all the 24/7 monitoring, but you can't use the app on your phone. And then $24 a month is app on the phone, cameras, all the big shebang. So 24, 15 are free, whatever.
You're going to do 24?
Yeah, I'm starting out with the 24 and seeing how much I use the app. I figure I'll start out and see. And then we'll go from there. I'll probably need it because I do want to get the doorbell camera. I was waiting to see what system I got to see what doorbell cam I want. So now I'll probably go with that. And yeah, Ring is the same way. Ring does not have any contracts either. Ring and Nest, I believe, is the other one that has the no contract.
The cameras we bought 2 months ago, you helped me get them set up on, you know, we got those, was it
Demon? Oh, yeah. Yes.
Set up on SightHound. I tell you what, man, I'm a freaking addicted to that. Going every day. I come home and I scroll through the pictures like, okay. And most of them are cars going by and I could eliminate that if I wanted to, but I've watched the kids come in. I watched Sammy go to the library. I watched packages being delivered to my house. I watched dogs walking by, people going up, the mailman. I watched myself mow on Saturdays. So
I always have to turn off my alerts whenever I got to mow. Cause otherwise it's like, hey, you got people all around your house.
I just get the alerts all day. I know they're cars. I need to tune it in, but
yeah, switch that to just people and you'll be fine.
Right on. SightHound. I paid the $60 for the SightHound license. So I'm up and running on the version that two cameras. Is it $60 for two cameras?
Yeah, for two. HD. Like yep.
I only have one. So I'll probably put one, I should probably put one at the back door too, kind of deal. But that's been, Mike, that's been super cool. I'm not, what's funny is I don't live in as great of a neighborhood as you do. And I don't worry at all about security. I probably should.
Really?
But yeah, I just don't. I've left my garage door open all night, many nights. And I do lock the garage door on my way out. I am a human, you know, security device every night as I'm leaving the basement to go upstairs. Clock the garage door. So you can't, even if the garage door is open or somebody came in through the garage, you could break into the garage door. I have a new one of those being installed tomorrow, which is really cool. So we're excited about that, but quieter rollers, better opener. I'm going to get a screwdriver opener that's super quiet because it sits right above my daughter's room.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't care. She never hears it, but we do. And so, anyways, yeah, I have loved that camera. I'm freaking addicted to checking it all the time. So I've got to be careful as I come home at night, scroll through the pictures from the, hey, who's been out in the house. So cool. So SimpliSafe, lots of mentions, a Ring out there in the chat room. Of course, Mike's mentioned.
Yeah. Mike Howard, you have to let me know how that works out for you with the Ring system. And you mentioned the $100 a year plan to cover the cameras. That's kind of why, honestly, that's why I went with SightHound, where there's not the monthly or yearly fee and you can add as many cameras as you want.
What's the fee for the, like, it was $60 for two for a year. Is it for a year or lifetime?
For lifetime.
Lifetime. Okay. Yep. And then what's
you get a year of update. So after a year, you won't get any updates, but you still have the same, you have the software license forever.
And what's the unlimited one that you have?
$250.
Okay.
So $250 one time. Yeah. And then you've got, you can add as many cameras as you want.
Kind of just depends what you want to pay for. There's lots of really cool home security options going on right now. So if you're interested in that, check it out. Jump into the Facebook group and share your successes or your failures. We'd love to hear about that. Mike, you also have a heart rate monitor thing?
Well, yeah, this was just kind of cool. I didn't know if any of you guys, I'm new to the gym scene, right? So I started going two months ago and I've been addicted. Love it. So the way our gym does it too is you can buy one of the heart rate monitors. And they have these huge TVs all over the gym and your monitor, your heart rate, your calories burned shows up. really increases the competitiveness in you. So you have all your friends that are around you, and if someone's right next to you and they're jump roping harder and their heart rate's higher, you start going a lot faster, you know, trying to get your heart rate up. I had never heard of this service before, but it's a cloud service and I can't remember the name of it, but essentially they are marketing to gyms and the gym just has to install one. It's called, I'd never heard of it either. So the heart rate monitor is Bluetooth.
It's not Rockbot, is it?
No, it's not Rockbot. It's like something metrics, gym metrics or something like that. Okay. But essentially the technology I'd never heard of was ANT. Yeah, you know what? That probably stands for antenna now that I'm thinking about it.
Oh,
well, they abbreviated it on the box like Bluetooth or ANT. And I'm like, ANT, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, just maybe
so antenna. I'm guessing maybe they have an antenna in the gym because I go in and I swipe my little card to get into the gym and it starts my workout and I show up on the TV and then everything works really well. Yeah, Garmin uses it. There's a bunch of brands. So they said you can go out and pretty much get any heart rate monitor. They gave us a list of brands. They said just plug it into the app, plug in your ID of the heart rate monitor, and then whenever you check in, we kick it off.
Great.
It's pretty sweet. And so after my workout, I leave the gym, and as I'm driving home, I get an email with my summary. It says, "Hey, go open your app. We uploaded your workout." I open the app, and it's there. So it's just kind of cool tech you start to see in the gym. I thought it was really interesting, and the competitiveness was really cool. I wish it worked with Apple Watches. That was my only thing. I already have a heart rate monitor.
Right.
And already using the app on my phone for this heart rate monitor that I just bought for my chest. It is the nice one that goes around your chest, though. Much more accurate than the watch. So, yeah. Okay, so Amp Plus is it Comtech? I don't get that.
Comtech. I think. Yeah. Communication technology. I think it is. The Mike, we use a service in our fitness center called Rockbot, and it's all about music. And so, like, you can pay to pick songs, or you get every time you come to the gym, you get four. You can select a band, but you can't select the song. So it's kind of Pandora like. And then lately, people have been trying to Rickroll each other. And so you come in and there's different songs that they play that kind of, you know, they don't fit the gym style, so to speak, but someone will buy that song for somebody else, you know, because they're in the gym doing that stuff. So while it doesn't increase the fitness in the workout, it sure is a lot of fun and it's super crowdsourced and they have rankings, DJ rankings for people who are in there more and select more songs. So it kind of keeps you engaged in the music while you're
in. What's this called? Because the biggest complaint at our gym is we've got all different age groups and they don't like, cause they come for certain trainers cause a certain trainer plays certain music and they're actually just picking and choosing what classes they go to based on the trainer because, that trainer doesn't play rap and I don't like rap. So that's perfect. What's it called?
It's called Rockbot.
Rockbot.
And it's a service fitness centers can use. And then there's an app for it. And when you get close to it, it'll say, "Hey, here's the Rockbot services that you're close to." And you can, when you get to them, you can check into them. And if you have to bring that out,
that's awesome.
You can buy, you know, their income model. It's all free to the gym. Their income model is people can buy songs to listen to or to play over the speakers.
Okay.
And it keeps track of stuff. Here's the DJs. Here's who's checked in. Here's the DJs. Here's the music that they've picked. Cause that's next to working out, maybe not even next to it. Music is the most important thing in a fitness center. Like,
totally.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Just ridiculous how much stuff goes on around the music. So Rockbot is what we've been using. No, cool indeed. Hey, and then a couple updates. One is I just ordered Cox Gigablast. It finally has gotten
In your area, huh?
It's finally here. So $120, I think. I think it's $120 and it's gigabit Ethernet. I mean, it's gigabit internet, right?
Oh, I'm jealous.
So I ordered it a couple weeks ago. I was I checked my once a week, I just check to make sure I'm not exceeding my bandwidth cap.
Yeah,
with Cox, and they were like, "Hey, gigabit is in your area. Do you want to get it?" I'm like, "Yes, please."
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't even hesitate. I just ordered it, and we had been during the big storage fiasco this spring when they were just consuming unreasonable amounts of bandwidth. I had to put the $50 plan on to get unlimited.
Right.
And so, you know, it's like, but to get gigabit, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll take it. So it'll be interesting to see how good it is. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to do a lot of speed tests to make sure I'm getting what I should be getting from speed.
Right.
From them.
Well, I wonder how it works with the router. I think you might have to use theirs. Well, you probably just put it in bridge mode, but
they said if I have a 3.1, you know, the Doxis 3.1, it would be fine. They tried to sell me theirs, and I was like, no, I'll do mine. And so we'll see how it goes.
Is it fiber or is it copper to the house?
I'm sure it's copper.
Copper to the house?
Yeah, I think it would have to be. I don't think they're running. They haven't been running fiber in our neighborhood. Yeah,
they wouldn't run fiber. That's true.
So, yeah. So a little more expensive. I'm paying 190. No, I'm sorry. I'm paying 95 now. So I'll go to 120.
And what's the cap on it, did you say?
I don't know.
How would I assume it's unlimited? Like,
no.
No?
No, I don't think it's
going to be higher than.
Oh, you mean the. I get what you mean. Yeah, I don't know. I just ordered. I should probably. This is how, like, I'm like, yes, I didn't even look into it. Like, you know, is it going to be a terabyte? You would think it would need to be. Ryan says in the chat room, a terabyte, I think, which is what I have now.
I was going to say that's why it's kind of that's what we have now.
Yeah, but it's super fast.
True.
Yeah. You know? So, and hopefully, I'm hoping to get my upspeed a little bit better because I'm still at 10.
Well, it's gig up and gig down, right?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is.
That's the biggest thing right there. You know how much of a time saver that's going to be for you?
Right on. Uploading. All the stuff. Because I upload almost more than I download now.
Yeah.
So I'll have to do a little bit more looking into it. But this, that tells you, like, I just didn't even check. I'm just like, yes. Do you want Gigablast? Yes. Yep. Is it faster? Yes. So, yeah, here it comes. Ryan says, up is not as high. So, I'll have to look into it. It's got to be better than what I'm getting. And I think I'm 150 down and 10 up, or maybe 15. And I think I get 10. So yeah, if it can improve.
Because you and I are at the same speed, right? Like we're at 150 down, yeah. 10 up, that right. tier from Cox in Omaha. Yeah,
if it can improve that. You've got a new, did you get a new phone?
Yeah, I did. Okay, talk I'm about on the 10 it. Now.
Yeah. When did you switch and new. Why?
So my screen broke a while ago and I didn't have any insurance on or anything. So I went just to the, you know, the iFixit place or whatever it is. Not iFixit. Yeah, iFixit Omaha. Got it replaced. That screen was just not the same as the other one. And it was driving me insane. Mm. Like the replacement screen just never worked as good, but it was in good enough shape that Verizon took it back, right? Because they won't take a shattered screen. So I couldn't just trade in when I had the broken screen. So it was good enough for them to take. So they took that back. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the 10. And, you know, this is old tech. We don't need to talk about the 10. It came out last year. And I'm sure I'm going to miss out because there's the new one that's going to be better. But Face ID, I'll just tell you, is worth it. I love it. It's been great. So
cool. Yeah. Well, and no concern for you thinking about, like, Apple's going to come out with a new phone here pretty quick. That's going to be the 10.
Yeah. And I figured 10,
whatever they're going to call it. What's the next one going to be called?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But we'll see. I'm not too worried about it. I've just become so about new phones. I'm not like, oh, I need the new phone. I used to be that way, but for the last 2 years, I haven't cared. I'm like, in my phone, when it starts to drive me nuts is when I upgrade. So when the screens just started to not do what I wanted it to do, that's when I'm going to upgrade. So,
okay. Well, congratulations on a new 10.
Yeah,
it is. Cox is 1 terabyte. Oh, it's such a
Gigablast.
Yeah. God, this drives me nuts. It's same dollar, $10 for 50 gig additional. You know, okay. If you want to do it that way. It is 1,000 down, you know. I don't see an up on here. Let's see if we can find it. I love it. Gigabit Ethernet, gigabit internet means one, you know, big long zeros of bits of data transferring through. I guess it's just transferring through fiber optic cables in 1 second. They are saying it's 80 times faster than the average DSL. Well, DSL is not very fast, to be honest. So we'll have to
Ryan seems like he knows. Because that's been back and forth on whether it is copper to the house or fiber. I've seen both.
So yeah.
I'm not sure.
I have not seen them running fiber in our area. So we'll have to give that figure out. Certainly the download is nice, but I'd like to have 50 up. Like that would be, I don't need gig up.
Right.
Like, most of the most of the service providers I used can't even take it that fast. So, you know,
true.
Not like I'm going to get that much benefit out of it, but 50 up would be nice. So
Ryan says it's coax in Wichita.
Yeah. Well, it's coming. It is coming indeed. And it says the order's processing. So I imagine they're going to have to do some things to, I don't know what they'll have to
you
do.
Flip have to reboot your, yeah. You need to reboot your modem.
Like, can you flip the switch from there? Can you just turn it on now? Like, why are you making,
why is it processing?
A Brian Regan skit about that. Like, you know, oh no, we're going to be out Thursday. Well, what do you have to do? Well, I have to flip the switch. Well, can you flip it from there? I mean, where's the switch you got to flip? You got a
right.
switch flipper, you know, a guy that's just going, chick, oh, chick. You know? So, anyways, yeah.
Switcher's elbow.
The switch. Exactly. Mike, you had, as we think about wrapping this up here, I think you had an idea about asking, it says, ask the pros. Was this your?
Well, because I consider, it's mainly for me, because I consider our community the pros, right? Yeah. Like, I'm always asking them questions, and then we just get to talk about it. So it's a lot of fun. And this comes from, I had so much fun asking people what router they were using. Mm-hmm. So I just thought throwing a question out would be fun. Yeah. But essentially what I want to know, because I've been asked this question a lot, especially at work, as people start to find out I'm in a tech, okay, hey, what's the first home automation thing I should get? You know, what should I get? And it's just such a hard question to answer now. So the way I'm going to phrase it is, if you could only keep one piece of home automation / smart home, whatever, you know, in that realm, if you could only keep one thing in your home, had to get rid of everything else and only keep one, what's the most important to you? What's the first thing people should get? And then second question would be, if you had to get rid of one, you have to get rid of one thing, what's the first to go? What's the first thing you're like, yeah, I could do without that. I have it, but I don't want it. So if you guys want to talk about it in Facebook group or whatever, tweet at me. I want to hear about it. And the Facebook group would actually be a good place to do it. Someone starts a thread, really, and we can just comment.
Well, why don't you start the thread?
Yeah, why don't I start the thread? I'll start a thread. I'll do it right now.
That's a good way to do that.
We can post it out there. And then, because I think we all get asked that question all the time. And I think maybe I'm missing a category, because if you don't use it, you don't think about it. So let's figure out what the best is.
That's facebook.com/theaverageguy, and just ask to be invited. And I will, if you're not out there, you might want to join us. That's where we're getting a lot of this information tonight for the show. There was a bunch more I didn't include in, just because it had been 2 weeks since we had done it. And I got more than I could use, but we'd love to have, which is great. Great problem to have. Love to have you jump out into our Facebook group. Just ask to be added, and I will add you, facebook.com/theaverageguy. Hey, here's an ask the pros. So Mark Robson got back to me. Gigablast upload speed is at 35. I'll take 35. That's
disappointing.
Well, I know, but I'll take, hey, I'm,
it's still three 10. Times what we get now. That's,
I know. True. Yeah. Yeah. And again, only important to me because I'm uploading big files to a YouTube or MediaFire that I'm using for, you know, for the RSS feeds for the video. This takes about 7 right now to upload all this stuff. So I'm consuming most of the bandwidth I have. I'd love to have a little overhead on that thing, right? So,
well, see, and that's, so for me, I thought it was gig up and down, and I was really excited for the gig up because there's never been a time where I'm downloading something, I'm like, man, I wish this would go faster. Like when I have 150, I stream movies. I don't download them, so I never notice anything there. Right. Like downloading an app, maybe, or a game. I guess if I'm downloading like a 50 gig game for my Xbox, but I rarely do that. Right. So there's rarely ever a time where I'm like, oh, I wish my internet download was faster. Now upload, completely different story. Every day I wish I had faster upload. Dang. Well, so that's disappointing for me.
Down's only as fast as the weakest link. And so, you know, like YouTube throttles you. So if you're downloading from YouTube, you're throttled, right? You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that anyway. So, well, there you go. So the order's in process. We'll see how it goes. And I'll keep you posted on Gigabit.
Yeah.
Here in Off the Cox Network. I'm sure Paul Brerin is all over this. I haven't heard from Paul in a while. I need to contact Paul. Maybe time to get him back on the show. We were shooting to have Christian on tonight and maybe do a Cyber Frontiers afterwards. Let me get an update from him. We'll talk about that a little bit in the post show. We may try and get him into a Cyber Frontiers yet tonight. Although it's not looking like it. Mike, good to have you back. We'll miss you next week.
Yes.
And I'll find a host. Maybe I'll call Erin and see if she can jump in. She's been doing a ton of stuff lately. I don't know.
No kidding.
If you don't follow Erin Lawrence, that girl Man, she's been doing a lot of home theater stuff recently. She did the chairs or the seats. She's been doing speakers. She's been doing projectors and TVs and all kinds of great stuff. So if you're not following Erin Lawrence out there, she's been on the show a bunch, and we'll have her back on. You ought to. That's a good stuff. And if you, Dave McCabe has been taking a break over at Reset. But if you haven't gotten subscribed to Reset, you probably should. Lots of good stuff. Listen to his pool house saga go on over. I swear to God, the Egyptians built the pyramids faster than he's built that pool house.
I haven't kept up on that one. I have no idea.
So Dave, that's for you. And yes, I said it intentionally. I know you listen to the show. So it's like, come on, get that pool house finished. And so Christian is out tonight, so we won't have him in the post show.
Okay.
Some great podcasts. If you haven't listened to, I love Entertainment 2.0. I've gotten into that. I know many of you listen to that as well. But if you haven't gotten into that, those guys are just rocking it over there. And so Entertainment 2.0 is a great one to get into. Mike, anything tech-wise you're listening to that may be off the beaten path from a podcast standpoint?
I'm back in the audiobook wave. We've talked about this. I go in waves where I go podcasts for months, and then I go audiobooks. I'm back in audiobooks. So two author suggestions, Michael Connelly and David Baldacci. If you're into crime, thriller, detective, murder kind of stuff, fantastic.
Okay. Cool stuff. And other stuff to listen to, if you need more stuff to put on your phone, listen to podcasts. Those are kind of what I've been. I can't get enough of Rich Hay. Rich is, if you want to stay up with what's going on with Windows, you got to listen to Rich Hay.
Yeah.
He is probably the best at summarizing that in a short period of time. Rich is always on my podcast list. Let me invite you too. If you come hang out with us on Saturday mornings, if you just need something to listen to on Saturday mornings, now Hall of Fame podcaster Dave Jackson, he's been on the show before. Dave and I do a show on Saturday mornings called Ask the Podcast Coach. And yes, it's about podcasting, but it's more fun than it is about podcasting. And so if you want to join us on Saturday mornings, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast, if you're out there. Love to have you come out and join us on Saturday mornings. Ton of fun. It's just a little bit of me. The good news is I don't have to be the host. Dave does all the hard work. And I get the Mike Weaker seat, which is...
That's what I love about this, is you do all the hard work. I just show up.
I know. I've been meaning easy to talk to you about that, Mike.
Yeah. You need to start pulling your weight around here.
So have you given up on beer since you've been working out? Is that what you've done?
This is the... I'm having a Bud Light right now because I had it in the fridge. Oh. But yes, essentially, this is the first beer I've had in a few weeks. So gave up the beer, gave up everything.
Have you done Bud Light Orange, by the way? Have you talked
about this? And it's delicious.
It's so great. I'm not a Bud Light fan at all.
I know. Yeah, I was not expecting you to say Bud Light. I thought you were going to make fun of me for saying it's good.
No, it's so delicious. So I bought some for me, and my Marine son was home, and my wife really likes it. And Tim comes to me and goes, "Dad, I'm sorry. I think I drank all the beer." And he's like, "They're so good." And it's like orange juice. It's like you're drinking a soda. It's so good. But
yep.
Some of that has been, we've been adding that a lot to it lately. Christian is trying, he's on a flight, and he's been having a hard time getting where he's supposed to be going. There's been some confusion
on what
he's supposed to do. So no, that's been good. I bought some of that fairy nectar. Is that the
cross strain one?
I was at Baker's, and they were selling them individually they were clearancing them for like a buck each. I'm like, yes.
Oh, seriously?
They're expensive.
They are expensive.
So I picked up four. I picked up a four pack, and that's a really sweet, and my kid said that's really sweet and hoppy all at the same time.
That's what I love about it, actually.
Yeah. So that was good. We've been enjoying a lot of that with a lot of the time off. We've been enjoying a lot of that, and I can't get enough. This summertime, Blue Moon, the mango wheat, I just can't get enough. This is another one that's just delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a good summer's here. It'll be gone before you know it. We're already starting to think about fall, Mike, and we're going to be raking leaves, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. Our friends down in Australia, maybe not so much. But we'll be raking leaves and getting ready for the fall. Just a couple reminders on the way out. Don't forget, you can support us on Patreon. And a couple of you this week did that. We appreciate you doing that. Head over to theaverageguy.tv/support or theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Either one gets you there. Plans are a buck if you want to join us. Post-show crypto conversation. Mike and I have a little bit of that tonight. That's always available on our Patreon page. You don't have to be a Patreon subscriber to get it, but it helps. All that little stuff helps me do upgrades, helps me buy things to test, that kind of stuff. So if you're interested in being a supporter, and for those of you who are doing that, I appreciate you for doing that as well. Thanks for doing it. I mentioned a couple of times, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. If you want to contact the show, there's a couple things we asked for tonight. So we'd love to have you get that done. Don't forget to join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy. Get you out there. Don't forget theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting. You know, it's powered by Christian and Maple Grove Partners. Mike, it never goes down. It never goes. It's so rock solid.
That's what you want, right?
I know. I don't even know. And the kid's always thinking about, like, how do I make it more secure? How do I make it faster? He's got a speed fetish. No, like, it can't be fast enough for that guy. And so if you're thinking about doing some hosting, it doesn't have to be WordPress. It doesn't even have to be podcasting. He'll do just about anything for you. MapleGrovePartners.com. Standard plans start as little as 10 bucks. So if you want to get in there, 10 bucks a month. Super reasonable, super cheap. Keep it in the community. Love to have you host out there. MapleGrovePartners.com. Don't forget, I mentioned it earlier, the app sponsored by LastPass. We appreciate their sponsorship of the show. Not for too much longer. I need to reach out to them to see if they want to renew again. But both Android and iPhone app, best way to listen on the road, HomeGadgetGeeks.com. T-shirts are still available if you want to head out to theaverageguy.tv/shirt. Tony Rayner gets the prize for showing it again on Twitter. Maybe it's time to have another round of showing the shirt in different places, maybe on vacation this summer. Maybe get that shirt to some exotic mountaintop or some jungle or some amusement park or whatever. HomeGadgetGeeks.com, you get the shirt out there. They're under 20 bucks. You can take them anywhere. They're pretty good little shirts, and I'd love to have you pick up one if you still want to do that. Theaverageguy.tv/shirt gets you there as well. And then, Mike, one more thing. And if I did this before, and a couple folks took me up on the offer. I've got buttloads of coupon codes for HelloFresh. So if you're, again, they're not a sponsor. Oh, really? I get very little from it. The HelloFresh has changed our life in cooking. We had another meal tonight. My daughter has gone to cooking. My 19-year-old daughter cooks all the meals for us now. Like, she likes it so much. She's learning to cook. We're trying all kinds of different things we hadn't tried before. Tonight we had salmon I could have put on the grill. This is legit. I'm so surprised how good they re-nicknamed it to Hella Fresh.
The company put an did, A. Or you no, guys?
We did. My son did. It's not Hello. It's Hella Fresh. So if you're interested in, I've got a bunch of, like, you can get your first week for free. Again, I get very little for it, but it's amazing having different things to try each week. Not as cheap as buying it yourself, not as expensive as eating out. It's right in the middle. They tell you how to do it. All the instructions are there. You get a box. You can keep it up to a week kind of deal that stays great in the fridge, comes in a package, easy to do, instructions that a moron can follow. You can buy as little as two meals for two people. It's 40 bucks. Like, it's amazingly cheap for that. Like, you get,
yeah.
And right. The thing is, Mike, you probably don't, maybe you do. You ever go to the grocery store now and try and buy produce?
Yeah.
You gotta buy it by the truckload, it feels like, right? There's no, like, individual onions anymore. You're buying a bag of onions, like, or you're, right? It's just really hard. With HelloFresh, they give you exactly what you need. It's just, God, it's freaking amazing.
You must love it because you love talking about it too.
Dude, it has revolutionized meals around here.
That's awesome.
And Sammy goes back to school. We'll drop down. I'm paying 120 bucks a week for three meals, okay, for four people. So do the math, right?
Yeah. I mean,
not terribly unreasonable.
No.
I could never do that at B-Dubs or Fazoli's.
No way.
Or, right, it's 20 bucks a head, right? I'm doing it for about 10 bucks a head. And then we're trying things like couscous. I would never eat couscous. You know, I just wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. And different kinds of rices and all kinds of, like, all of a sudden, like tonight's meal was just amazing. And I'm like,
you get excited for dinner.
Holy crap. My daughter cooked this thing. Like, my 19-year-old daughter. She in 20 minutes, or it's probably 30 for this one. It was so cute. So that you grillers will appreciate this. She is in there. She got salmon in the pan. She's got tin foil because she doesn't want it to stick. So she's cooking the salmon on tinfoil. It's got this great sauce on it, and she's got my instant read meat thermometer, and she's testing this. She does not want to screw up the salmon, so she keeps testing to see, you know, to get the right temperature on it.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, this is so awesome that my daughter is using an instant read meat thermometer on salmon on the stovetop, which was just delightful. Like, I mean, it was so, they had a little sauce on it that had a kick to it. Dude, contact me, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. You got a coupon code. You got to try it. I get nothing out of this. I'm just so, like, it has changed the way we eat. And you get recipe cards. Like, we put them in a binder, and then we're...
Oh, and then you have them.
Yeah. We could go buy our own stuff, like, and try it. You know. So, anyways, give it a try. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. I'll send you a code. You'll get your first week for free, something like that. I don't know. Depends on what codes they have available. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. We'll do some post-show crypto. If you want to head over to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon, it'll be posted there, both video and audio. Mike, good to see you.
Yes, glad to be here.
Looking forward to chatting on some crypto. And with that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.